investigation, really important, especially with this war on science. And you also talk about how animal agriculture is trying to discredit the whole issue of climate change as well.
It really amounts to what I would consider the authoritarian playbook post 9/11. It's about not only rewriting facts, but also censoring, misdirecting, pumping up fraudulent science like the oil industry and tobacco industry did for decades, but also shifting and embracing outright authoritarian tactics like criminalizing journalism, labeling civil disobedience as terrorism. Big agriculture has embraced all of this as a pathway to protect their profits and really keep consumers in the dark about what's happening.
Why did you single out photography? Just explain.
There is a wave of legislation that passed in multiple states in the U.S. called ag gag laws that criminalize anyone, including journalists, who take photographs of factory farm cruelty and pollution and workers' rights abuses. And now that's spread globally as well.
Why the title Little Red Barns?
This is the foundational myth. This is the story we're all raised on of what a farm looks like. And it struck me in the investigation that this is also the foundational myth of fascism. When we hear Make America Great Again, we're talking about this return to an idyllic past that never existed. And this is what fascists have always done. They kind of create this mythology that we have to return to this golden era. And therefore, their attacks on dissent today are legitimized.
We clearly have to continue this conversation. We will, and post it at democracynow.org. Will Potter, investigative journalist, author of Little Red Barns, Hiding the Truth from Farm to Fable. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are tuned to KBOO, Portland.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre, a place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, or KBOO.fm, where we make musical structures for the listener to enjoy.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Rumble on the River, presenting their 25th community gathering event focused on Portland area climate concerns on September 25th at 5 p.m., at 1241 Lloyd Center. The event will include live music, tabling, and a community forum. More info available by contacting 503-705-1943.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the Oregon firefighter held by ICE is released.
Multnomah County accidentally releases a murder suspect.
The city of Tigard will appoint a new mayor.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. I'm Anna Wilcox.
And I'm Terrence Burns. The Oregon wildland firefighter who was arrested on the job in Washington by ICE has been released. Rigoberto Hernandez was detained by an ICE detention facility in Tacoma, Washington, while fighting the Bear Gulch fire in the Washington Olympic Peninsula last month. His legal team pressed the case in federal court for weeks, but his release came without an order from a judge. Hernandez said, quote, "I am glad that I am home, and I am excited to see my family. I want to give thanks to everyone for their prayers, their rallies, their sharing about what happened to me and the other firefighter. So many people stepped up to help, and now I want to help others just like they helped me," end quote. Hernandez is a legal resident of Kaiser, Oregon, and has a UA visa pending since 2018. That's a special visa for those who have been victims of a crime. His family was the victim of a felony, and his father testified in the state's case. The immigration system is so backed up that his visa application hasn't been considered. Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden released a statement about Hernandez's release. He said, quote, "Today's release makes clear that ICE had no business in detaining someone who had followed all of the laws and put their life on the line to keep our communities safe from Pacific Northwest infernos. If Donald Trump truly wanted to protect Americans, he should be going after real criminals, not unsung heroes like Mr. Hernandez. I'm going to keep using every tool at my disposal to uphold the due process rights of our immigrant communities," end quote.
The Multnomah County Sheriff's Office is on the hunt for a murder suspect. They say posted bail and was released from custody on Monday. 26-year-old Ty Anthony Sage walked free from the Multnomah County Detention Center when he posted a $5,000 bail. Sage is facing a second-degree murder charge in connection with the shooting death of 15-year-old Logan Ivy in December of 2021. The sheriff's office says it acted in good faith based on the information available to them. However, in this case, they say Sage should not have been eligible to post bail. In a statement from Multnomah County Deputy District Attorney Maddie Lieb, the prosecutor confirmed Sage was released by mistake after previously being held without bail. Deputy District Attorney Lieb said, quote, "We just learned that this murder defendant was erroneously released. He was held without bail by the court after a hearing on September 17th. We are working with the court and the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office to get this defendant back into custody as quickly as possible," end quote. Jody Ramsey, mother of the murder victim, told Coin 6 News she's outraged that the authorities made such a monumental mistake. She said, quote, "I couldn't see straight. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'm so mad, I'm so sick to my stomach with it. I hope you guys catch him quick. I mean, that's all I can say. I really hope he gets caught again," end quote. The sheriff's office said anyone with information about Sage's whereabouts should call 911 immediately.
Tigard City Council will appoint a new mayor on October 7th after former Mayor Heidi Lueb resigned earlier this month. Two city councilors, Jeanette Shaw and Yi Kang Hu, say they're interested in the appointment. Former Mayor Lueb resigned on September 9th after months of conflict with city staff and other city council members. She was first elected mayor in 2022, and her term ends December of next year. The Tigard City Council will appoint the next mayor instead of putting it on a vote for residents for a few reasons. First, the deadline to file for a special election this November was September 5th. Lueb didn't resign until the 9th. Second, the end of her term is less than a year away from the would-be election. City charter says there's not enough time for a special election, so City Council will decide. Tigard voters will get to pick their next mayor in the November 2026 election. Tigard residents could submit questions for the mayoral candidates by emailing cmo_admin@tigard.gov. 10 questions will be selected for the two councilors to answer on the October 7th meeting, when the rest of the council will vote for their pick for mayor.
Fresh produce will soon be harder for food banks to buy. OPB reports funding cuts federal funding cuts made this the last summer for the Local Food Purchase Assistance Cooperative Agreement Program. The program gave federal funds to state and tribal governments to then give to local producers who service food banks, pantries, and other groups. The cuts are occurring alongside major cuts to the SNAP program. SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that gives food money to people in need every month. About 740,000 Oregonians use SNAP to buy food monthly. President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill cut SNAP benefits by $500 million over the next 2 years, KGW reports. The Oregon Food Bank website said that the bill will, quote, "will go down in history for its cruelty and recklessness," end quote. But in the midst of these major changes, one Oregon food program is looking for more participants. KBOO spoke with Rachel Ward, the executive director of the Farmers Market Fund.
So we are very devastated to hear about some of the cuts and restrictions that were passed with SNAP, and working really closely with our partners at Department of Human Services to try to mitigate as many effects as possible.
Back to you.
The Farmers Market Fund runs the Double Up program, which matches SNAP dollars for fresh produce for up to $20 a day. That means that if you buy $20 worth of fresh produce with SNAP, you can get an additional $20 from Double Up. That's $40 worth of groceries. Ward says while there's still no confirmed plan, the state will likely need to make adjustments to cover losses in the SNAP program. But Double Up is funded through separate grants. The program didn't lose funding with the Big Beautiful Bill.
We are hoping that our program can continue as normal, and just want to make sure that folks who are on SNAP and remain eligible know about it and know that, this is an option for them to really stretch their benefits and incorporate more fresh produce into their diets too.
Ward says more people who are currently on SNAP can use Double Up than are using it now.
When you go to the farmer's market, you just find the information booth and tell them you want to use your Oregon Trail card or your SNAP benefits. They'll swipe your card for however much you want to take off it and then give you a matching amount.
Double Up also works at participating grocery stores, CSAs, and farm stands. Ward says that you can find a map of participating locations at doubleuporegon.org.
The Oregon Health Authority says taking Tylenol during pregnancy does not increase the risk of autism. The announcement follows President Donald Trump's unfounded claim that taking acetaminophen during pregnancy could risk autism in newborn children. The Oregon Health Authority reaffirmed its dedication to providing evidence-based information to the public. In a statement to K2, the Health Authority highlighted that the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists has confirmed the safety and benefits of Tylenol during pregnancy. They say there is no definitive evidence linking medication to autism in children, but unrelated fevers in pregnancy are associated with neural tube defects. Fevers are the sort of ailments that pregnant people might take acetaminophen or Tylenol for. Criticism from President Trump could invite more litigation and lead customers to switch to alternatives. However, the maker of Tylenol, Canview Incorporated, is also refuting Trump's claim. Analysis believe brand loyalty to a product that has been on the market since the 1950s may ultimately limit damage.
Oregonians are feeling less optimistic about the future and more concerned about finances compared to last year, according to a new study focused on consumer rights and well-being. Despite the struggles, the survey finds more people are standing up against scams and fraud. Isabel Charlet has more on the story.
A new survey focused on consumer rights and well-being throughout Oregon shows many are struggling financially while increasingly pushing back against unfair or illegal business practices. The survey, conducted by Oregon Consumer Justice, polled nearly 2,000 residents about their financial well-being and their priorities as consumers. It found that one-third of respondents could not cover a $400 emergency expense without going into debt. Oregon Consumer Justice Board Member Katrina Holland adds that a growing number of Oregonians feel they will be worse off a year from now.
The good news is, despite feeling that way, Oregonians are taking steps to exercise their consumer rights, to address scams, fraud, lack of consumer access, etc. People are really interested in fighting for themselves.
The survey also revealed that more than half of Oregonians experienced unfair or illegal treatment in the past year, most commonly scams or fraud. The majority of Oregonians report having taken action against the mistreatment, often by reporting it. The survey found that while people of color, women, and young adults reported more difficulty paying for emergency expenses, geography was not a factor. Cassidy Nelson of the Oregon Values and Belief Center, which helped conduct the survey, says Oregonians are facing a common set of financial struggles, regardless of where they live.
No matter if you looked at the Tri-County area, Willamette Valley, or the rest of the state, rent, housing, and utility costs stay at the top of people's list of financial stressors.
Holland adds the majority surveyed said they believe holding insurance companies accountable for unfair prices is an important step in creating a more fair marketplace. She hopes these results will empower lawmakers to take more bold action to advance pro-consumer legislation next session. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air last night, but we couldn't watch him in Portland. That's because K2, the local ABC affiliate, is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, which is continuing to preempt Kimmel on the stations it owns. Nexstar Media Corp., which is also not running Kimmel on its ABC stations, already owns COIN and could soon own KGW. Both Sinclair and Nexstar are engaged in separate merger deals, currently waiting for federal approval. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, along with Senators Elizabeth Warren, Ed Markey, and Chris Van Hollen, are opening a probe into those two companies. The senators wrote, quote, "If you suspend a late-night comedian's show in part to seek regulatory favors from the administration, you have not only assisted the administration in eroding the First Amendment freedoms, but also create the appearance of a possible quid pro quo arrangement that could implicate federal anti-corruption laws." The only major TV station in Portland not associated with banning Kimmel is KPTV, a Fox affiliate.
Not so fast, Blazer fans. When the Paul Allen estate announced last month that the Portland Trail Blazers were about to be purchased, Blazer fans thought they could breathe a sigh of relief. They were set to be bought by the seemingly stabled hands of a group of experienced professional sport team owners led by Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon. Raj Sports Holding LLC owns the Portland Thorns women's soccer team and the newly minted Portland Fire WNBA franchise. They filed a lawsuit claiming that some of these investment partners, Andrew and Peggy Cheung, co-founders of Panda Express, are in violation of a confidentiality agreement. The lawsuit seeks to prohibit the Panda Express owners from being involved in the sale as investors in Dundon's group. On August 14th, Dundon's bid to purchase the Trailblazers became public, even though a purchase agreement had not yet been signed. Once Dundon's bid became public, people inside the deal describe a fierce battle for control of the team between Dundon and Raj Sports. One source described the struggle as, quote, hand-to-hand combat. Another source behind the scenes told the Oregonian that Raj Sports is attempting to leapfrog Dundon even after he became the Allen Estate's preferred buyer. It's not immediately clear what impact the lawsuit will have on the sale of the Blazers, although it may complicate Dundon's ability to follow through with the sale.
An Ohio chaplain regains asylum after ICE detention. Activists warn of free speech crackdowns. Alabama groups push to keep the Tennessee Valley Authority public, and President Trump targets the United Nations over migrant funding. With that story and more, it's Farah Siddiqui with the 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
If they did it to me, they can do it to anyone. Actually, the law allows the USCIS to terminate anyone's asylum.
Cincinnati Children's Hospital chaplain Ayman Suleiman says he was held in ICE detention for 72 days before his asylum status was reinstated. Immigration officials initially seemed to want to use his case as a precedent for reopening asylum cases, arguing the Egyptian former journalist was affiliated with terrorists. After the case was abruptly dropped, Suleiman said it shows the fragility of migrant rights, which in theory are protected by law. In Dallas, ICE recently detained a prominent Muslim leader who's lived in the U.S. for three decades. Attorneys with the Muslim Legal Fund of America argue the government mischaracterized his charitable work and denied him due process. At the United Nations, President Donald Trump criticized the $370 million in food, shelter, and other aid the UN gives to migrants.
Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out.
He warned that countries supporting migration are going to hell and pressed for ending what he called the failed experiment in open borders. Also at the UN General Assembly, several European allies announced they're recognizing a Palestinian state in response to what many call genocide by Israel. The White House pushed back, calling it a reward for Hamas. After imposing a huge fee for the H-1B visas, the administration is now proposing to scrap its lottery and replace it with a weighted system favoring higher-paid applicants. Immigration attorneys warn the change could serve big corporations, leaving early career workers and startups behind. Trump continues to blame the, quote, radical left for the shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk and has issued an order designating the Antifa anti-fascist ideology as a domestic terrorist organization. Civil liberties groups say the move could permit attacks on the funding of a wide range of nonprofits. And Amy Antonucci with New Hampshire Peace Action says it's intentionally misleading.
What we'd really rather be doing is the real work of pushing back against the actual violence happening in this country, but for our group, particularly in our name abroad.
With privatization possible, Alabama advocates say keeping the Tennessee Valley Authority in public hands would lower power bills and reinforce democracy and consumer control. Adam Keller is with the Alabama Arise.
Across the South and across the country, we can see the real difference. Folks who are served by TVA have more affordable electricity. And very importantly, we as the public actually have input over what happens with TVA because it is a public power system.
I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for KBOO News in Depth. We're speaking with Street Roots correspondent Jake Thomas about the lack of oversight in medical care in Oregon's prisons. At 6, it's The Underground. Then at 7, listen in for Hard Knock Radio. Sunshine and clear skies will continue overnight. Expect a low temperature in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, we'll see morning sunshine with clouds forming by midday, high in the low 70s. Today in history, September 24th, 1964, a decade after Brown versus the Board of Education ruled that schools must be racially integrated, a crowd of at least 7,500 demonstrators, almost all of whom were white, marched outside New York City Hall to protest a policy aimed at increasing racial integration in the city's public school system. The quote of the day is from Supreme Court Justice Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren, who said, quote, "In the field of public education, the doctrine of separate but equal has no place, and separate educational facilities are inherently unequal," end quote.
People in tribal communities say they're getting approached by predatory representation and solicitation in the wake of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, RECA, being received by Congress this summer. With the second part of that story, it's Antonia Gonzalez with the National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. On Tuesday, we reported about how people in tribal communities say they're getting approached by predatory representation and solicitation in the wake of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA, being revived by Congress this summer. That story from KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio continues.
With the tribal fair season in full swing, solicitors are even targeting elders there, like 64-year-old Maggie Billyman in rural western New Mexico.
It's overwhelming. Who do you trust? Who do you go to?
At her home in northeastern Arizona, she says many Navajos, like herself, struggle with all sorts of cancers. Billyman lives with COPD and chronic renal failure or kidney disease. The daughter of a late uranium miner and Navajo code talker, Billyman recalls being asked to sign up with a national home health care company at the Eastern Navajo Fair in Crown Point. But that happened in July, a month before the DOJ reopened the free process.
And she looked at me real surprised, and she goes, "We can get your record for you if you like, pull it out." And I said, "Oh my God," I got up out of the chair.
That fair booth was run by UEW, or United Energy Workers Healthcare, which paid $9 million in 2023 to settle allegations of submitting false claims to the U.S. Department of Labor. Several requests from KJZZ to UEW went unanswered. They've been named among companies and attorneys in the West on a growing watch list curated by a working group led by the nonprofit Union of Concerned Scientists. Their advocacy has led New Mexico's Attorney General to warn consumers to watch out for fraud. Cancer survivor Tina Cordova is sounding the alarm, too.
It's pervasive. The scale is unprecedented.
Co-founder of the nonprofit Tularosa Basin Downwinders Consortium, she and others cite as an example downwinders.com, a web domain trademarked by the Florida Incorporated National Cancer Benefits Center, which also owns another company called Atomic Veterans.
They've made people believe that they're working with us.
National Cancer Benefits Center CEO Kirk Gladwin denies the allegations, stressing his company is part of the solution.
We do not solicit, we do not knock on doors, we do not call anybody, ever, and we never have, unless those people ask us for information. Don't let anybody tell you that, because that's bullshit. And I hate to say that, but that I'll draw the line. That makes me angry, because that's not us.
Those affected can still find free assistance from a handful of federally funded health clinics through RECEP, the Radiation Exposure Screening and Education Program.
The scams were new to me.
Candace Lewis is Dene and the RECEP patient navigator at North Country Healthcare in Flagstaff. It's one of only two such clinics in Arizona, and she's getting calls from all over.
I actually got off the phone earlier today with someone who was from New Mexico, and he shared a little bit of what he was going through. It was a hard call. They didn't even state their name.
That's supposed to be her job, so it upsets her.
Lawyers have more power and more pull than me. And it has been a little overwhelming at times, but I'm just like, bear with me. Just be patient with us.
Because if someone lawyers up, Lewis says her clinic can no longer help them with filing a RICA claim before the end of 2027. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Piatarazio.
The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and the state of Wisconsin recently celebrated new dual language road signs. The new signs identify the tribe's boundaries and two river crossings in Ojibwe, Mohan, and English. The Bad River Band is the eighth of 12 tribes in the state to collaborate on such highway signs. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
In an executive order signed on Monday, President Donald Trump said, quote, because of the aforementioned pattern of political violence designed to suppress lawful political activity and obstruct the rule of law, I hereby designate Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, end quote. The order directs the federal government to investigate and prosecute, quote, those who fund Antifa operations, end quote, and also emphasizes anti-ICE protests like those happening here in Portland. A fact sheet attached to the order says, quote, ICE officers are now facing a 1,000% increase in assaults against them, end quote. A claim the administration has made many times without evidence. Christopher Mathis, author of the forthcoming book To Catch a Fascist, wrote, quote, nearly every word in the president's post was a lie. Antifa isn't an organization. There is no legal statute with which to declare Antifa a major terrorist organization, end quote.
The city of New Orleans continues to be in trouble after significant work following Hurricane Katrina. Sections of the city's levees are subsiding by an inch or two every year, including key wetlands and flood walls. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. This summer marks 20 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. Since then, the city has built stronger levees and higher flood walls. But parts of New Orleans are sinking, so the city will likely need to continue updating its flood defenses over time. Simone Fiaschi was part of a Tulane University team that analyzed satellite data to study land movement in and around New Orleans from 2002 to 2020.
To better understand where the ground movements are happening, but also at what rates.
They found that most of the city is stable, but several places are subsiding significantly, including some areas that provide critical flood protection. For example, a wetland northeast of the city that absorbs water and helps buffer the city during storms is sinking by up to 2 inches each year.
If the rates continue as they are right now, in the near future, we are going to lose the wetland because that will become open water.
And although Fiaschi says the city's flood walls are still high enough to keep people safe, the ground below some of them is also sinking by about an inch per year. So over time,
for sure, that will impact the protection that the flood walls can bring to the city.
So he says tracking the changes is critical, so the city can intervene and improve its flood defenses when needed. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael hopes he can keep a little summer in his heart.
We've just passed the equinox, beginning the fall season. And while I can't say exactly when the fall of America began, it's picking up momentum. I wonder if Tyler hadn't shot Charlie, would some rightist have done it just to give Trump the excuse to further erode the Constitution? The FCC demanded ABC silence Jimmy Kimmel or suffer, which Trump quickly made personal, saying any criticism of him, the master of erroneous and aggressive, is erroneous and inciting violence. With Kimmel back on air, how will Mount Donnie erupt? Maybe send ICE to Disneyland? And government shutdown coming. Another layer of night darkness as the politicos play the blame game and Trump continues to insult and threaten any opposition. Then after fall, as Gil Scott Heron sang, it's winter in America and ain't nobody fighting because nobody knows what to save, or at least no one can agree. As they say on airplanes, make sure your oxygen is flowing before helping someone else. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Anna Wilcox, David Rosenberg, Dan Raphael, Dave Johnson, and Althea Billings. The producer is Dave Johnson, and our engineer is Ray Bodewell. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath, on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Anna Wilcox. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to